All right, here we go.
Blog Talk Radio.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
It's Saturday morning, and time for unscripted, unapologetic straight talk on police reform and race relations. It's time to go behind the blue curtain with your host, retired 25-year police officer, Stan Mason.
White show, rich poor show, poor show. It's a real show. On this show, we talk about the hard topics, the topics nobody else wants to talk about. This is the show where the voice of the least can be heard and rise up. You don't need a PhD, an REB, any commas, titles, chief, mayor, city council person on here. We keep it real. It's unscripted. It's real. It's 100%. This show was founded in Waco, Texas, by the way. So I got to give a shout out to the people in Waco, Texas that supported me for 25 years out on the street. Love y'all. Miss y'all. And, of course, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, hometown crew in the house, Harvey Pitts and the family up in the house. Okay, today, you know, I want to talk about something that, to me, is not getting enough attention. When we talk about missing people, and the topic of missing people never seems to make it to the mainstream media unless they're blonde-haired and blue-eyed and young and attractive. Then we get weeks and weeks and weeks on end of coverage of these people. So today, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about missing people overall, but we're going to focus on the missing black females in this country, particularly black women. Okay, I went online and tried to pull up some numbers on a lot of it, and some of the numbers that I found out, and this is in provided by NCIC, National Crime Information Center. That's what the police rely on in 2018. For missing white people, there were 362,988. For missing black people, 207,394. Okay, of the both those numbers, 211,906 were men and 239,847 were women. So I want you to ask yourself a couple of questions, you know, while we're going through this. According to Mike.com and News1.com, approximately 64,000 black girls and women are missing in the United States. Question number one, where are they? Question number two, how can this happen? In a country with cameras on every corner, video constantly everywhere, how are all these people missing? You know, what is law enforcement's theory on these disappearances? What is the FBI theory on these missing people? You know, I tried to search and did my best to try to pull up some ground numbers. Most of these missing people seem to be centered in Washington, D.C., Baltimore area, Philadelphia, Cleveland, Detroit, Chicago, of course, and a couple other places. Now, I got Detective Mosley with me again today, sidekick, co-host in the house, you know, 32-year homicide investigator. You guys, he's going to fill in a lot on how we look. So let's, for the purpose of the discussion, missing, we're going to talk about missing have not been found. Not missing, recovered, found dead. And then what I want you guys to do, if you want to call in 646-716-4621, press 1 so that I know that you want to come on. And then we'll allow you to give a theory, because right now none of us really know what's going on. And the thing is with it, the police don't know what's going on either. And the FBI doesn't know what's going on. So as you guys know on the show, we keep it 100, we keep it real. Don't bring your feelings in here because they're going to get crushed. So I had to start off and ask some questions. When someone's missing in the black community, we initially jump in. We're all on board. We're searching. We're looking. Then about a month later, the family's just wandering around by themselves looking. So when you get people get disconnected, or they're not going to miss that person. I'm talking the community right now. You know, that person becomes, if I need something, I'm going to go over there. Black women are less likely to be heavy smokers, less likely to do intravenous drugs, take care of their hair and their skin. They might not take care of nothing else when you find a bad one, but they're going to take care of their hair and their skin. Typically will work 2 or 3 jobs to take care of their kids. So what is it about this demographic, that many people missing, that no one really seems to be looking for? Sure, sex trafficking can make up some of it, but I don't think there's sex trafficking 25 and 30-year-old women. You don't hear of any of this. Nobody's talking about this. MSNBC, CNN, Fox, CBS, nobody wants to deal with this topic. You don't hear about it in your black churches. Not one of the black candidates running for president have talked about this issue. Cory Booker, Kamala Harris, no. It's almost like these women don't exist. So today, we're going to delve into why these women and where can they be? You know, what's going on? Are they just that easy of a target? I'm going to bring in my resident expert, Detective Mosley. Brother, what do you think? Come in and give me your view.
Well, let me say this. First of all, good morning, everyone. But I would suggest that 2 things. As I said earlier, just because they call it conspiracy doesn't mean it isn't. But more importantly, I would ask everyone to take a look at what Henry Kissinger authored when he was at the UN about population control. And one of the ways they talk about population control, and it's a real document, by the way. This is not some conspiratorial stuff I made up. He talks about how to control world population by abortions, by killing, well, removing the birth centers, and so on and so forth. Well, if you take all that and put into the equation of if they're not having kids, they can't have kids because there's no women. They can't have kids because there's no men because they're all locked up. And then they're killing themselves. You see a larger, more conspiratorial aspect of this whole thing. And it's all in black and white. It's there for you to read. But one time I had a conversation with Dick Gregory, God bless his soul, and he shared some things with me. At some other point I'll tell you about that, but it goes into some of these documentation. Here in the city of Chicago, it's unique for a lot of reasons. Some time ago, the FBI said there was no such thing as a black serial killer. Well, then comes Wayne Williams, and as most of you who do any real research know, Wayne Williams didn't kill all those people. However, he took the rap for it. In the city of Chicago, I worked on a case where there were 40 women missing, but no one really took notice till a particular sergeant I worked for said, wait a minute, he went to the superintendent who was his friend and said, look, we got a problem here. At that point, the computers didn't have an algorithm and, you know, all the soothsayers didn't know anything. It turned out that we eventually found 2 black men who had, we count probably 30 to 40 women. The interesting thing was that the women were, let's just say, throwaways. Now, certainly to us, there's no such thing as a throwaway, but to certain segments of the society, there are. There were prostitutes, drug addicts, whatever, whatever. However, for us, the police, they are still somebody's mother, sister's daughter, aunt. And we have to give closure. it's not for me to pick and choose. I can't pick my, as they say, clients. You know, we don't have a Hippocratic oath like a doctor does. We can't refuse treatment to anybody. So that being said, I would suggest to you that there are some other factors at play, and that
absolutely,
when we look at the numbers, now you said 65. My numbers show 75,000 women, black women, are missing at this point. And when I say missing, I mean, think about it. We had the whole world heard about these two, Tianda Bradley and her sister. They've been missing for 20 years. I mean, never have we found their bodies. Never.
Brother, that's the amazing part. We don't find the body. That is the part that should alarm a lot of people. What is going on? You know, I mean, when I looked at things that jumped out at me was, you know, from the police aspect of looking, of course, you first want to say, okay, this is demographic women, and then the subcategory, black women. Well, we already know the media is not going to report on it. You know, we already know that that's where the concept of missing white woman syndrome came into play. You know, and that was actually Gwen Ifill, who was a PBS anchor, actually coined that term. You know, and she described it, she defined missing white woman syndrome as a phenomenon noted by social scientists and media commentators of the extensive media coverage, especially in television, of missing persons cases involving young, white, upper middle class women or girls. Missing white woman syndrome has led to several right-wing tough-on-crime measures that were named for white women who disappeared and were subsequently found harmed. In addition to race and class, factors such as, bear with me 1 second, you know, such as their income level, you know, what their social status was, just like you just said, were they prostitutes, were they drug addicts, were they just a struggling mom? And that determines whether the media covers it or doesn't cover it. And this is all of it. This ain't just Fox News. This is every single one of them. You know, I'm sorry, brother, go ahead. Let me jump real quick because I'm gonna hold you, detective, because we need to get some other stuff with you. Let me go to 804 Big Gus. Come on, brother.
Hey, good morning, Stan. Good morning, Detective Mosley. What a glorious day it is. Hey, look, the question is, I mean, the answer is to me is pretty simple. The cities that you named were predominantly black, and a segment of our society don't really care or don't value a black life. That's what I think the issue is. They don't really care. They don't put the resources behind missing black people. Now, here in Richmond, they will pop up a few. They do look for black women here, even though this is a predominantly black city too. They will pop up, a little spread on TV. So-and-so is missing, or so-and-so is missing because she didn't take her meds. You know, they'll do that. But not on the scale that they should be for all the women that are missing in the city of Richmond. It's a lot of women here missing too. And I think it's because, you know, of their ethnicity and their backgrounds. Some of them are streetwalkers, but they're still somebody's mother, sister, or daughter. And I think that's the issue.
But they're not just hidden from television. To an extent, they're even hidden in the internet. When you go in and try to search missing black women, you'll be amazed at how hard, how much you've got to dig to find out. They'll tell you about an individual, but if you wanted to get collective numbers, it's damn near impossible to get them. I went in and I typed this morning. I put in missing black women in the United States, and what came back? The number one choice that came back was states with the most missing people, and that was on a site called CheatSheet.com. They said Alaska has 10 people missing per 100,000. Arizona has 2,000 people missing. Washington State has 5 to 7 missing per 100,000. Nevada, in Las Vegas alone, 60 to 80 people go missing every weekend. Idaho, it didn't give a number. It just says it has a lot of missing people. Montana has 142 people on their missing persons list. Wyoming has 5 to 7 per 100,000. Hawaii has 3,000, says that 3,000 children go missing every year in Hawaii. Arkansas, in 2014, the FBI's database said that they had 400 missing children. Now, Arkansas was the only site that when I clicked on them, they had a picture of a black woman. Every single one of those states that I just named, probably with the exception of Hawaii, is predominantly a white area. And then as I would read, most of these people showed up. They came up missing in state parks and different things. Well, with black people, we could throw the state park thing out. There aren't very many of us who pack up and just you and the husband or girlfriend or you and another male friend go off into the woods for 2 weeks to backpack. That doesn't happen. A lot of these are northern states that they had on there. So my thing is, okay, I understand all these people are missing. I'm not trying to move them down in the food chain. They get media. They get press. I'm saying, what about this demographic of black women that are showing up missing? Somebody, and I'm going to tell you, somebody is making a profit or making money off of these missing people. And if y'all looking on the Facebook Live, Travis looking at me like I'm crazy because he knows what I'm going to talk about. And he told me last night, he said, man, I might have to wear a bag on that show. You start bringing that stuff up.
Got the bag.
You might say, yeah, your face is over here now. So we're going to talk about some theories on it. And let me get a caller in real quick that's been holding for about 7 minutes. I'm going to bring in this caller real quick. 213 area code 4815. Good morning.
What's going on, Stan? How you doing? This is Rob from the Roundtable.
What's up, Rob?
Hey, I like the topic today. I just want to say, though, that we got to be careful with how we and you're absolutely right without it's interesting how we have a situation where people, you know, black people go missing and whatnot. We put the effort in in the beginning because we want people to believe us when we say that, you know, we care about our own and everything. But then, you know, let a couple of months, 6-7 months go by, and okay, well, you know what I mean. Bills starting to get tight, so I mean, you know, we're gonna pray for them. Like that's the attitude that happens then, and we miss like the parts that matter the most here, because the reality is this is what happened to us before America became America. You know, like our kids go missing, our women go missing, get raped. You know what I mean? Get assaulted, and we don't do anything about it. After a while, the Europeans just stop being afraid of us, and they just say, okay, we're going to just take you, you know, straight on. You know what I mean? And the reality is human trafficking still goes on today. That's why black women are still missing, because there's someone that's still convinced after, it's crazy, after 400 years of slavery, right, that our people still don't deserve to be free. Our people still don't deserve the same opportunities as everybody else. So then it isn't a surprise when we deal with police officers that aren't afraid to shoot somebody that says I'm pregnant on the ground, that, oh, well, why can't we find these missing black women? I mean, you know, it's obvious.
Right, but you know what, Robbie, I agree, but I'm going to say this. Today, black people are not going to have it easy on this show today either. You know, I mean, because we can say all this brother and sister and Black Lives Matter, but you know what? We've forgotten about these women too. These women were not snatched out of thin air and taken somewhere. And if they were, and they're your women in your community, why are you leading the outrage? Why are we supporting the same media? So we protest for everything else. Everybody else's agenda. We'll protest for the LGBTQ. We'll protest for immigration. We'll fight everybody else's battle. Now, this is our battle. I'm not going to blame white folks because white folks are missing too. And I'm going to credit white people because they keep those people in the forefront with media help, but they do. We sometimes just throw our women to the side or forget them or let them go into that sweet goodbye, and we're not out there raising hell. If we're willing to raise hell over dead people who were wrongfully killed, we should be raising hell about folks who have, we don't know if they're dead yet, but yet we're not going out there to look for them. See, this is where when we get to this hard discussion, we got to light everybody's ass up. Nobody's coming in here. Because I learned a lot in researching this. I'm not going to say it was foremost in something I thought about every day. So I started looking at these numbers and saying, golly. And then I started looking, and I was more intrigued and pissed off by what I could not find on the internet than what I found. And I mean, slavery and all that right now, that ain't got nothing to do. I bet you right now can't nobody name 5 missing black women. 5 or children. And these are happening in black areas. They're not going in to Salty Sea Gate, Utah, and grabbing one of the only two black people that might be in the whole county. That's not what's happening. A lot of these people are missing from areas such as D.C., Chicago, Detroit, Cleveland, Philadelphia, Baltimore. These are high class or highly populated black areas. So our hands are not clean as far as the outrage of what is going on. And that's the thing, is to get people to invoke some shock. Why are people asking their chiefs in their towns, if you're in one of those towns, why aren't you lighting them up? Hey, have we located the 40 black women that showed up missing last month? If you stay
in and stay up. I can answer that.
Come on.
I don't know if anybody saw, but earlier this year, and I think it was February, a young lady by the name of Stacey Brown wrote an article, "Our Black Women and Girls Have Gone Missing, But Few Seem to Care." One of the things that she points out, that a stunning 36% of those missing were black teens under the age of 18. And total statistics show that 75,000, not 750 or 7,000, 75,000 young black Americans are currently missing. And nobody's saying a damn thing. Now, take that into account and look up. Let me just say this. Run this. I want you all to take a look at this. I want you all to go and please look up the Kissinger Report. It was finally made public in 1990. Read what they talk about. This is United States policy. Policy on controlling the population. If you read that one document, then we can talk. But, you know, we could sit here all day, but unless you read this document, it really doesn't make sense for me to even talk about it.
Come on, Rob. Rob, did you want to add something?
I think his mic went dead.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm going to throw out something that I got to thinking. What do we do with all these missing people? Now, Detective, you know like I do, if one of the biggest black markets going right now in the world today.
Can y'all hear me?
We can hear you.
Basically what I was saying is you hit the nail right on the head, Stan, about, you know, people being real quick to be outraged. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Evidently, you can't hear me. But okay. Go ahead again.
Yeah,
go ahead and finish your comment.
Okay, yeah. Basically, it's real interesting how we don't see enough of us at the voting booths after we've complained about, you know what I mean, somebody going missing and somebody, you know, somebody in our community going missing. Because the reality is we don't really care, because it costs money to actually have to invest. It costs time to actually have to lobby, go to politicians and tell them, look, someone I care about has gone missing. And again, I said this, I think, in the past. If we don't do it, why would we expect anybody else to do it?
Agreed.
True. That's very, very good point. But if we look now, let's get into some why. Why? What do you all think? And Robert Drake, your mic is open too. You know, I'm just going to say one of the biggest black markets that's on the dark web and is very profitable overseas is organ harvesting.
Yes, indeed.
Now, for those that don't know what organ harvesting is, it's when somebody kidnaps you, euthanizes you, surgically removes your organs and sells them on the black market. Am I saying that that is what's happening? No, it's a theory. And at least I'm putting a theory out there. Now, let me ask you, you got a client that needs a liver. Well, no, a kidney. We'll say a kidney. I get the word, go out and find a kidney. Blonde hair, blue eyed is automatically off the table. Why? Because their disappearance is going to bring too much media, too much attention. So I'm going to go into that middle class, the low middle class neighborhood, and I'm going to get that mother that's working the convenience store, the school teacher, teacher's aide, secretary, receptionist, some lower to middle class job that maybe her coworkers will miss her, the family might miss her, but she's not going to garner a lot of attention. I'll follow her a couple of days. She pulls into the apartment, so she pulls into the house. There's only one car in the driveway. She's single. Haven't seen her smoking. Doesn't look like she drinks a lot. She might, but doesn't look like she gets turned up every weekend. Organs might be all right. So snatch her at the mall. Snatch her coming from work. All you got to do is get her in the van and get her to the facility that's 1 or 2 miles away where the team is waiting. Now, not only do we have that kidney, but we call them and go, hey, look here, we got the kidney you ordered, but guess what? We got a liver, we got some corneas, we got some other stuff here that you use this to. So now I know some of y'all are thinking, well, how do you get rid of the body? A lot of funeral homes have these places called crematoriums. And if you're paying a funeral director under the table, and it's just a theory, and he or she disposes of the body for you, there's nothing. People that live around a crematorium don't think nothing of smelling that smoke. It's a theory.
Well,
in that case, what the black people become? It's almost like cattle. And if you've had, and I hope Charlie calls in because he's had a heart transplant, because I want to ask him, when he was standing in line to apply for that transplant, how many millionaires were standing in line behind him? And I bet that answer would be zero.
Let me say this to you, Stan. Again, if you guys followed some of the news around the Chicago area, less than 2 months ago, there was a father and son team that were actually taken down by the FBI. These guys were taking human remains from funeral homes and selling them. So imagine what a viable, as they call it, a viable heart cost. I think last time I checked, a heart was like 100,000, if not millions. Kidney transplants, what are the biggest things going on now? Look at what that costs. And again, if the organ is viable, and I use the term viable so you can look it up, that makes it even more expensive. So it's unfortunate because, you know, they say that life imitates art and the same thing. Some of these movies are not that far off. There was a movie made some years ago about Repo Man. Take a look at that. That's a little strange, but it's true. They had another movie where these people were being cloned. They're living on an island. They thought that if they hit the lottery, they'd go to some bigger place. Well, it turns out they were being harvested for their organs from their cloners. I mean, theories are just that. But so was the theory of relativity. Did it turn out to be true? Okay. Einstein's theories. All these theories had some basis. So people should not discount what is happening. Where, as you said, where are these people going? What's happening to them? And I can tell you as a former homicide detective that it takes much more to investigate a missing than it does a homicide. I mean, because the homicide forgive me for saying this, but it's a terminal point. I don't mean to be callous, but with a missing person, it takes a lot more, let's just say it takes a lot more revenue stream to investigate that than it does a homicide. And people don't realize that.
Right.
Plus, it's easy just to write them off.
Yeah, and when we're talking about these missing people, a lot of times they want to conflate and convolute the numbers. Just remember, we're talking about missing people. The key word is missing. So we got to take out your accident victims. We're going to take out your ODs. We're going to take out your homicide victim because we got a body there. So we already know. But even in, it's amazing because even in a lot of homicides where bodies are discovered, they never say if the organs were there or were not there. They'll say it was dismembered, partially decomposed, but they never say that.
And you'll never know either.
Right.
Because
and
they'll stuff the body with newspapers.
Yeah, and see, for family members who think, well, you know, that's a crazy concept. If any of you listening or will download this later, if you had a close family member pass away and you went to that funeral, you're seeing a body dressed up in a casket. That's what you see. Oh, they look sleek. You're thinking all that stuff is still inside of them. It's not. It's not in there. But that's what you're conditioned to see. So even if you have a legitimate you know, the person was not an organ donor. For my niece, when she died at the hands of the Dauphin County prison system in Pennsylvania, she was an organ donor. So she was kept alive long enough for, you know, my sister, her mother, and the children to say their goodbyes, and then she saved five to seven lives that day by donating her organs, but she was in a hospital. But for the rest, I mean, those organs aren't in there. So ask yourself, where are they? If you think funeral directors don't know the cost of these organs on the black market.
Let me answer that. In the state of Illinois, by law, unless the family requests upon autopsy, and again, for us, we have to, investigating officers have to go to the autopsy to the post. The bodies have to have the organs placed inside the body at time of burial. Now, I don't know what it is across the rest of the country, but in Illinois, that's the case. My wife's a funeral director. And I will tell you, whenever I went to a post, or I had to observe the post, the bodies had to be, again, posted and stated what's, you know, because they weigh up the heart, they weigh up all the organs, and they place them, they sew them back into the body. I hope I'm not insulting anyone by telling you this. But again, does that change over the across this country? I'm sure that it does. But again, look up what the cost of these. Again, you look at tort law. When people get into these accidents, how do you think they determine, the courts determine what a person's life was worth? Say if you lose a limb in a car accident or a negligent semi-truck driver hits somebody and kills them, how do they determine the worth? They determine that based on, are your limbs viable? What was your employment at the point of death, at the time of death, and what were you doing? I mean, they've got a whole, actuaries have figures for these things.
Bingo.
I mean, they've actually figured out what your life is worth, and it's incredible. The other problem that we have, and again, this is going to really sound crazy, the way they classify us, sometimes they classified us in the late 60s as Negroes. Then they decided to call us African Americans. Then they said, well, maybe there's a combination or two. Then they made us black. So again, the problem is that there's also a contamination of what determines who you are. There is no problem with calling someone white. If you're white, guess what? There is no other race, allegedly. But for us, we're divided into subcategories.
Yes, sir.
Robert Drakes, I hear you.
Sir.
Come on, brother.
This is. I know we keep saying this, and we shouldn't have to keep saying it. This is a great conversation. It's a great topic. It's something we need to talk about. I'm gonna be short. Human trafficking has never stopped. We look at slavery as human trafficking. We have a category called sex trafficking. It's all human trafficking, right? But I'd be willing to bet that if anybody on this line wants to really find a true correlation, look at what the brother just spoke about. What is the unemployment rate in those areas? Do those people, are those people documented on the census report that they do every so often? And when you look at these people that's missing, and you look at the unemployment rate, and you look at if they're on the census report, because a lot of people in those communities don't answer that door when the census people show up and answer those questions, right? This is why right now in the United States, they keep pushing this stuff about census and trying to keep people from being documented. If a person does not exist on these records, it's easy for them to disappear. Because just as you said, the families will search for 2 weeks, they'll get the community involved, and then they'll be doing it on their own. I would ask anybody, you can go in your local Walmart and you can look at a board that's right there in the entrance that shows missing people. A lot of those people on that board are children, but it shows missing people. And look at the races of those people and the age. It's right there in front of your face every time you go into Walmart. Stop and look at it in the entrance. But look at the unemployment rate in those areas. Look at the undocumented census report. People in that area that you know live there, but they're not filling out the census report. And I guarantee you, you'll find a correlation between all of these. I think you guys said from 60 to 75,000 missing black women. Do the research.
You know, one of the variables in it that from the police perspective, and this is something that, for officers is frustrating. They're not going to come out and say it, and you won't hear it much, but by and large, a lot of officers do care about these missing people, and when they get time, especially if it's a local missing person, you know, they get a little free time. They're not running calls. They'll go out and ask, and they're doing legwork. But then you get inundated with these runaway calls. Now, there's two different things.
Yes.
A missing person and a runaway, and I want everybody to get this, are two missing things. Some, not all, but some runaways, and I know I've dealt with them, are repeat every single month because mama took the cell phone or the PlayStation or whatever, and now we got to go do a runaway report. You enter these people into the system, and then you get them. You have to take them to these juvenile shelters. Runaway is not a crime, so therefore the parents come get them, pay a small little administrative fee or whatever, and then, you know, we start the cycle all over again. So you've got a system that's so inundated with runaway children, and runaway means they left for whatever reason. They weren't taken by anybody. Nobody crawled from under the bed and took them. They wanted to leave, and they left. But they go into that system, too. So the system is bogged down with what is a runaway and what is a missing person. Missing people are people where there is no reason for them to be gone. They just vanished. And a runaway is somebody who made a conscious decision not to come home from school or something like that, who has a track record of running away. So for the officers, they get all this thrown on their plate, along with working calls. Try to find these missing people when you get a chance, especially the elderly. You know, that the elderly people that are missing are real high priority with law enforcement. And most of the ladies and gentlemen I worked with, I mean, when somebody's missing from a nursing home, if you're not on a call, if we had 15 people working, you can bet 10 of them were over in that area at night looking for that elderly person. So we kind of prioritize things in a time aspect, but when you throw the runaway numbers, which God knows, I don't even want to know what they are, you throw those into the mix, then it really bogs down the numbers. And then we look at these 64 to 74,000 black women that are missing. Now, they fall further behind the curve because the system is responding to the runaways, they're responding to the missing children. And it's important to remember, before anybody says, well, this sounds like a conspiracy show, remember, before sex trafficking became a big thing, people were saying the same thing. Oh, it doesn't exist. Yeah, they're probably prostitutes or kids, but there's no way there's big sex traffic rings. Now we know that there is. And one of the reasons why some of these things remain conspiratorial and not factual is because some of the folks who are in positions of power or influence over those in power, hello, multi rich folks, are doing it. You don't believe me? Hello, Epstein.
It wasn't a problem, Stan, until it actually hit Main Street America. The same drugs. Didn't care about everybody else getting high and getting messed up. When it started going into the neighborhood, the Main Street neighborhoods, that's now this is the problem that everybody want to crack down.
I'm trying to be nice today. What really aggravates me with this is when I get some folks who will say, oh, only reason he's saying something because they're black. You're damn right. You know what? I'm not saying that missing white people are not important.
Because they do that themselves.
Missing black women and kids are important too, damn it. And if the media won't talk about it, I have to ask why. Because you show, as a media, you show what you think about me when you refuse to report on people missing who look like me. All these politicians standing right up there with all that nonsense, when you're not out there advocating for people who look like you and look like me, there's something wrong with you. And if anybody says, well, I'm white and I'm angry because he's talking about missing black people only, then you know what? You don't really know me. I'm talking about a group of people that nobody else wants to talk about. And I'm admitting I learned a lot in research for this show. A lot. So if I learned a lot, if you're offended because you don't know shit, and don't want to know, and probably don't care. We had to hear about Natalie Holloway, who went to Aruba back in, early 90s on a high school trip.
Yep.
We heard about that for 3 years. The United States government sent FBI agents to Aruba.
He still ain't found it.
And you're lucky if a black child is missing in the community, you're lucky if you get a police response in under 2 hours. So, yeah, you know, you got to get aggravated about this. And frustrated. And it's a lot of people who have responsibility for this crap. Me, and all of y'all and all these so-called leaders, and I don't care what color they are. But like I said, we fight everybody else for. Yeah, come on.
Well, my thing is, I agree with everything you're saying, Stan. My thing is, I was thinking about it. I saw an episode of Roland Martin the other day that got me thinking that, you know, the police officers can't really be trusted to police their own any more than they can be trusted to police our own. So, like, at what point do you think we're going to have to start holding the police unions accountable when we have to put up, like, a recent incident with a police officer? I don't have all the facts, but I'm gonna speak on what I did hear about. I did hear that there was a police officer that was either taken out or something, an altercation. It had to do with St. Louis. And the reality being that the police unions are trying to defend the cops while also, you know, understanding that it's still 2019, post-Michael Brown, post-Trayvon Martin, you know, like, it's possible for cops to commit, you know, police brutality. It's possible for cops to throw information about black women going missing into a circular file.
Yeah,
I mean, at what point are we going to hold the unions responsible for their part in this?
No. Today, we're not putting none of this on the cops. You know, brother, I love you, but that's some bullshit. Because let me tell you something. I did that job. Those men and women that go out there to do their job, yes, there's some badass officers out there, but it ain't all of them. And when they go out there to take those reports, I've worked with men and women who the next day come in early off the clock trying to find out anything about that missing person. That police officer on the street has jackdammit to do with that missing person, other than until they get the report.
Stan, I think you're missing my point.
I'm going to finish my point, and then I'll let you respond. We're not going to interrupt. But I'm not going to let the police get this thrown on them and bash today. Police unions don't have anything to do with these missing people. Nothing. And I'm not going to absolve their immediate communities and leaders from not speaking up on the issue and automatically jump to bashing the police. We're not doing that today. Because I'm going to speak up for them because I've taken those reports. I've been on the end of it. I've seen men and women busting their ass trying to find out anything they can about it. And no, this is not the police that are doing this. It's not. They can only investigate what they're told. And truth be told, too often in the black community, nobody wants to get involved and talk to the police about something until it affects them. Now, let's just go on and get real. We're not beating the police up today with this. When they're wrong, we'll call them out. But we are not going to fast forward and jump to blaming the police or police unions who don't have anything to do with this. Nothing.
I have a question, Stan, from the 804.
Come on, guys.
This is to Detective Mosley and to you as police officers in your profession. What is the pecking order when a missing person report comes in over the wire? What's the pecking order?
Let me ask you. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was saying, what's the pecking order? You know, let's put the demographics aside. What's the pecking order once the call comes in that somebody is missing in your respective departments that you guys worked in?
Let me answer that for the Chicago side. And I've actually worked for Chicago Housing Authority on a federal level. Two things. First of all, we have certain categories too. A tender age missing means under certain age, under 14, which means it gets a higher priority. The other problem that we had was people used to make this assumption, and it's nationwide, that the person had to be missing 24 hours before he could make a report. That's absolutely not true. The two missing girls that we had go missing, the Bradley girls, the bad guy, in my mind, had at least a day to 2 days head start. Because, you know, the people never reported them on the day they went missing. But as far as the pecking order goes, children, at least within this department and most departments, always take precedent over the adolescent or the adult. So if you've got a juvenile that's missing that's under certain age, we have what's called a plan. If that child is missing, all the cars within that district or that they put out a call for the district cars and then area cars and it goes out. They put out a plan. The plan means that there's a sergeant, two cars that do nothing but hunt for that child.
Right.
But I'll tell you something unique that we found out after the, and again, this goes into a whole nother issue, after the girl was murdered out in Denver. One of the things that we do as Chicago police, we train our officers to go into the home and look first, because you'd be surprised how many kids hide within that structure, but because they do it so well, and it sounds crazy, the parents don't know where they are. You would be surprised how many kids we recover because the parents just didn't, you know, it happens. The kids are right there. Now, on the real, as I would attempt to elucidate, the real ones that are missing, whole different plan. We hit the schools. We hit grocery stores. We hit everything that's available, anything that's moving. We get a list of, you know, their friends, their parents' friends, and we go from there. For us, if a tender age missing goes, a person of 14 under goes missing, there's a 24-hour watch for that kid. Priority one. That means those cars don't even answer shot fired calls. But now in that process, now what have you done? Now you can reduce the manpower for any other call. But it does happen. We have a whole youth division just for that. Now, success rates ain't great, but that's another issue in and of itself.
Hang on. Gus, I can tell you in Texas, I will say this. You know, kids are major. Kids and elderly are immediate priority. And I have not seen in Texas where color counted. You know, when we get to missing, it's just like, you know, Detective Joe said in Chicago. We got more officers trying to get over there and locate the missing person than we got working cars. You know? And so in Texas, we got a time frame. We're under a clock. When that call comes in of a missing child, we have X amount of time to respond and get that child's name in the system. Even though we're still looking, one person gets the information, height, weight, what is the last thing they're wearing, and we fill out a form, and they immediately go into the National Crime Computer and Texas Crime Computer. So everything that we know immediately, we have to get that information out. We have a deadline. Yep. So, you know, Texas does a good job at doing it, and I'm going to let you finish in a second, Rob. I love you, but that's one thing. When it comes to kids and old people, I'm not going to let officers get thrown under the bus, because I work with too many firsthand. Some people may have had a negative encounter with a police officer, but I've worked with men and women who bust their ass. I've seen them get off the clock in their own time.
Yes.
Still look. So, I mean, I'm going to tell you, that's something that we can't do that today, but I'm going to let you finish your point there, Rob. Go ahead.
I mean, Stan, it's fine. Like, I should have reworded the question a little bit, because the reality is, the point of my question is, we know that police brutality exists, whether or not there are good or bad cops. Obviously, there are good cops that fight racism, that fight prejudice, you know what I mean, that fight that bad stereotype. I believe that. But I think two things can be true. I think that it's very possible that there are cops that, like I said, like has been said by the experts, that they bust their ass, they give everything they can, and then they take off work and give some more. You know, like, I do believe that that's possible, but I'm objective, Stan. Like, my reality is about objectivity, because, well, I think that while that's true, I think it's also possible that there are police officers. There is a subsection of police officers in every major or every city, probably, that it doesn't really hurt them to, you know, kind of back away from, you know, from certain missing cases when it has to possibly do with black people. I'm not saying that I know that for 100%, but at the same time, if I'm going to say that there's good guys in the police force, why am I denying the bad guys?
Right. Okay, can I take a minute?
Can I answer that?
Yeah, let me answer real quick, and then as soon as I'm done, you can come on.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Come on, Robert Drake.
Okay, Rob, let me ask you a question, sir. And this is for everybody on the panel and everybody in the audience who listens to the show. Why do you call the police to your house? Rob?
You asking me personally? Because I don't.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. This is just my take. I would only call the police to my house when I am not able to control whatever's going on in my house. A lot of police go out on domestic violence calls because the people in that house or whatever can't control what's going on. It's out of control. Same thing in our neighborhood. Police should be there riding through the neighborhood, making sure that peace is maintained in the police, I mean in the area. The only reason that they will have to deal with something in the neighborhood is because we don't take responsibility for ourselves. So we got to quit using the police as a savior. We got to quit using the police as do for me what I can't do for myself all the time. If we do that, they can take care of all this other stuff. Control yourself, control your situation, and you don't have to have them come in and save you is the point that I'm trying to make. We have to take self-responsibility. We have to find out why these people are coming up missing and do everything within our power to keep them from coming up missing. And when they do come up missing, we have to do everything in our power to make sure that we can find them in a timely manner. Don't call the police if you don't want to give them 100% of the tools they need to help you correct the said situation. They have these shows, First 48, First 24 Hours. Danny is on the line. He was in law enforcement. The detective is on the line. Travis was in law enforcement. What I'm saying is folks call the police for help and don't give them the tools they need to help them correct the system. You wait 72 hours later or a week later, and then you want to start telling the police the whole truth. If you really love the people that you're looking for, give them everything that they need the first time you interact with them. Don't give them pieces of the story, pieces of the information, and have them going out on a wild goose chase based on said information that was not correct. Give them everything that you need, they need to help you, but don't call them. Period, point, boom. Because you have made it hard for them to do their job as an individual, and then when you don't get the right results, you want to blame them for something that is your stupid ass, and it's not for you, Rob, this is for other people that's doing it. You created the situation by not being true, period, point, blank. That's just my opinion on it. Thing, detective,
love those.
Travis, are we on point or not?
No, I can't disagree with you.
But
I don't think that comes. Well, sorry, go ahead, sir. Sorry.
When he said, when you know something like a situation is out of control, going on in your let's say in your area, just you alone, you're not going to call the police. So you're going to let the situation escalate. Until it's so damn far out of control that the only end result is going to be one of the stupid results, such as death or probably imprisonment or hospitalization. So you're never going to call the cops when a situation unfolds that you know you can't control. So you're not going to call somebody to bring it under control. You're just going to let it ride. That was what I got when you said, I don't call the police. So I'm just trying to get you to clarify that for me.
Well, first off, like I don't think that Drake. I'll answer your question. I don't think that Drake's point they made earlier was necessarily was a pushback on mine. I really think that, you know, if you don't tell the police everything, then you can't complain when, you know, when shit hits the fan and you don't know what to do and oh God, what's gonna happen next? Like, I mean, you if you're not honest with the police, well, I mean, they're gonna be forced to do their job. I'm not trying to say that that shouldn't be the case. I'm not trying to say that, that, oh, well, we need to just blame the police officers every time, you know, the investigation doesn't go the way we want it to. Obviously, there are people who are trying to get over it, and they use the police as a means to do it. What my question was do we believe, are we gonna sit here and be, you know, fictitious and fantasy-based and say that, well, there are no bad cops in the system, there are no cops that would want paperwork to go missing about black people that might need some, the black children that might need to be found? The only point that I was making is that while there are those good cops that don't believe in police brutality, we still know that there are those bad cops that are there. So then why would we say anything different about our topic currently? You know, we're talking about the reality of police officers, you know, going through the system and participating in this.
You're right. Now let me ask you a question. In all of that you just said, you didn't call out not one black person in these neighborhoods that might know something. You just said, I don't call the police. So if you're not calling the police when there is a problem,
I didn't get to answer that question though, Stan. I didn't get to answer that question though.
I'm gonna finish. My point is, in everything you just said, how the police did this and there are bad cops that won't report. You just said that. Guess what? There's some sorry ass citizens that won't talk to the police when somebody's missing too, and some of them in black communities are black. So you can't come on here and get so pro-black that you'll throw the police under the bus, and yes, sometimes they need to be there, but not all the time. And you know what? In this particular instance, if you're willing to go that far, and I've spent 25 years in that job. I know officers aren't perfect, but I have never seen one in my experience show any preferential treatment on a missing child because of color. I've never seen it. And this is not a hypothesis or theory. It's a fact with me. And my thing is, if you're going to throw the officers under the bus, guess what? There ought to be some black faces from those neighborhoods up under that bus, too.
I agree.
But I don't need you to agree. I need you to, while you're bashing the police and saying they're bad police officers, we know there's some bad police officers, but there's some sorry-ass citizens, too. And every week we give these sorry citizens a pass, whether they're black or white or Hispanic or rich or poor. We give them a pass and immediately want to jump to beating up officers. Because I'm going to be real about it. Some of these officers spend more time in some of these families trying to impact than the damn parents do. I know because I've worked with them. And some of them are white and some of them are Hispanic and they're in black families or Hispanic. I'm telling you what I've seen firsthand. And I mean, I perfectly will bash cops when they need to be. Absolutely will. Not all of them. Particular ones or a particular section or a particular department. I don't say all cops, because I work with these men and women, and that's not an easy ass job to do. And everybody seems to know how we should be, how we should do the job the next day, but they don't know what it's like to walk into something that's already out of control. To walk in and see a 5-year-old that looks like your 5-year-old that's missing, and I'm not going to sit here and blame cops and unions. That's a bullshit stretch. That's my opinion. I love you, brother, but that's you know, we're not bashing cops today. This is not a police thing.
I'm not saying that though, Stan. I'm not saying, oh, we need to blame the police on everything. Because I didn't get to finish my second point, which was to Travis. And my thing is, no, I don't have a problem with calling the police when I deem it necessary to contact them. You've heard me a lot of these times talking about how I support community policing and how I also held us accountable. And I've said that, well, you know what? We need to stop being so, like Drake said, we need to stop being so quick to blame police. Why don't we get into the voting booth? Why don't we come together and organize economically and create our own committee? You know, because the reality is, if we don't get, I said this, if we don't get invested, then we can't complain. I've said this.
Okay, but you also just blamed the police and the union. But let me, Tyrone.
I asked a question. I'm not blaming anybody. I asked a question.
Okay, and we answered it. And my basic answer to that is that's bullshit. It ain't, the police don't have nothing to do with these missing people. I'm not saying officers don't commit crimes, but we're talking 64,000 people, and there's no big blue conspiracy that I could know and think of cops that are going out doing this. I just, you know, I'm sorry, brother, that I can't stretch that far. Detective, you want to add into this before Tyrone gets here?
Well, I was it took me for a loop on that one, but I will tell you this. In the scheme of things, the people that work in those units, particularly when it comes to juvenile crimes, are a hand-chosen lot, at least mm-hmm. within the larger municipalities. You've got to want to be there because you're going to hear some things, see some things that I'm telling you, brother, you have no idea the atrocities that are committed on these kids. You really don't.
Yep.
I would offer you this, that if you ever come to Chicago, I will make it my business to take you and let you see what some of these people do. That being said, however, I totally disagree with some of the things you just said, and that's your right. But, again, going back to the main point, this is a specialty. Juvenile crimes, youth officers, as we call them, are a special group. Normally, you don't find the people that are committing atrocities against us in that type of purview because you have to have a different mindset in order to do the job that you intended to do. Again, I'm not going to say, 100%, but 99% of those people in those job categories are a different breed, and they're there because they want to be. In Chicago police, most of our people are social workers. And believe it or not, you have to be a social worker and want to do this job anyway. But these people mm-hmm. really take it on themselves, and they bear a bigger brunt than you could ever imagine. Because as Stan said, because I worked in youth division, I was assigned to two high schools. A lot of my time was taken up by what I saw was a lack of. And what never gets translated is what these officers do when they do it. Because, again, because of bad politics, whatever else, they don't want people to know that you're doing a better job than you're getting paid to do, if that makes sense.
You know, and if I could just add one thing, and then Tyrone, come on in right after I'm done, brother. You know what? I'm gonna share this part, and I'm here. Detective Mosley is here. And when we do the show, we're sharing stuff that we know from experience we've seen. We're learning from y'all. We share our civilian side. So that's what we're all coming here to learn and understand and get different views on something. But I'm going to tell you this personally. The hardest call on any officer, black, white, I don't care. Any officer will tell you. And it's easy for us to cavalierly say what we think and this and that. But you know what? Until you work, whether it's an auto fatality, a drive-by, a SIDS death, when you have to go deal with these little babies and you're in those rooms with them for hours, photographs and measurements, and you're trying to comfort parents and you're trying to maintain your composure and you're trying to do all the things you need to do to complete an investigation, that is not easy. I have worked the murders of kids that I've known. And I'm sitting there with their bodies shot up, and I knew them. And you have to try to hold yourself together, do the best job you can do, comfort the family members who know you, and let them know I'm not ignoring you, I'm just really busy over here. You're balancing all of that. Our Academy can teach you that. Can I see men and women out here who do it and do it? And like Detective said, I wouldn't work the juvenile division. There's no way. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I would choke the shit out of some of those folks for the things I've seen done to kids that y'all don't know. You see the newspaper headline that's cleaned up. You don't see the pictures with the cigarette burns. You don't see the pictures where the kids don't get any food. Flea bites all over them. Roaches crawling on them. Open wounds with maggots on them. Officers see that, and it pisses them off. That's why, Rob, when you said, and I know you might not have meant it, but the way it came out, I got outraged because I know too many good people today that are officers that still can tell you about that case they worked 20 years ago with that kid. And any psychiatrist or psychologist will tell you the hardest thing for an officer to ever work is a death or serious abuse of a child. That way, because most of us have kids. If we don't, we got nieces and nephews. And kids are defenseless. So, police, for all the faults it has, I just simply refuse to tie them to this missing black women, because I've seen too many white officers searching more for missing black women than the folks in the neighborhoods are, and black officers. So I'm sorry. Cops, we may have our faults, but you know what? When it comes down to missing people, I've never seen one yet that said, I ain't going over there to look. They bust their ass to go there, even if they're not on the clock. So that's one area that if the rest of the country did half of what the cops do to help find their loved ones, we probably wouldn't have a 64,000 figure. And that's just my opinion. Ty, come on in, brother.
Yes. I want to just say that this, the scope of this podcast is about 64,000. And I heard Detective Mosey say something to the tune of 70. Whatever those numbers are, we're talking about missing women for the most part. Am I correct?
Correct. Yes, sir.
For the most part, women. And what I'm about to say right now, I don't want nobody put their thinking caps on. I want you to open your minds up to the probability. Because what I'm about to say is beyond the scope of many people's understanding or willingness to accept what may be, can be, and very well might be in this life that we call on Earth. And I'm saying that particularly because you said something earlier, Stan, about organ harvesting. Mm-hmm. Just as we have made technological advancements, whether it's in the military, in science, in construction, whatever it may be, we know there's an advancement going on this planet. People are learning how to do things differently. Even robots are now doing surgery. You follow? So why is it that when we say organ harvesting, let's say, that is not far-fetched? And I like what the detective said. It's not just a conspiracy. It's also a travesty, and it's also controversial. This is something people don't want us to talk about. Reason why they don't want to talk about it is because the mass population has been controlled, for the most part, by a narrative that they control, and they don't want us to think outside the box. So that organ harvesting is one thing. How about artificial insemination? How about in vitro fertilization. How about stem cell research? But because a lot of people are not scientists, I happen to be a scientist, and I study science all the time because science comes up just like in police work. They came up with forensic science to get to the facts. Now, I'm just throwing these things out as a possibility because, remember, years ago, what was thought to be impossible now is possible. Do we all agree with that? Years ago, what was considered impossible is now not only possible, it's our living reality. What became probable or a possibility now is a living reality. So when you talk about why the woman, one of the oldest and most important fossils ever discovered dealing with the woman, was a woman who they called Lucy. She was what scientists call, and they named it, of course, we don't like science, a lot of us don't like language and dialect. We just stuck in this English thing. They call it what they call an australopithecine. I want you to look that up. Through carbon data, this woman was considered at least 3.2 million years old, or anywhere between, I think, numbers of 1.5 up to 3, but she's well older than that thing that they call in the Bible your little Eve story, which is a nice little preschool's little story about woman. What am I reaching at? Woman carries what they call the mitochondrial DNA, which through her DNA can only be traced to what we call all life. That's why they created a woman, and even in the Bible story called Eve, you look her up in Arabic, they call it Hawa. It's called the mother of all living. She carries the genetic material that can not only give life, but can preserve life and can prepare and repair cells that have been damaged. This is a fact. This ain't nothing I'm making up. It's called the mitochondrial DNA, which predates man millions of years, even billions of years. Look it up. It's called the mitochondrial DNA. Why would that woman be missing? There's people on this planet at all means necessary, by all costs, will do everything to look for cures for diseases. They will look for anything to extend their life, whether it's taking your organs or even using some of your, what we know as bio chemical properties that's in your body. They don't call the womb with the closure of the womb the uterus for no reason. Uterus, that placenta, the afterbirth, which is the components of all which is that baby is made of. And by the way, they don't throw the placentas out in many cases. I would always recommend people to ask for your baby's placenta because they do medical science and advancement testing on these things. You might not think it's true, but just like the brother said about the mortuary science, I happened to also work in that field years ago too. And in this state, I can tell you, they don't sew anything back. They take the organs after everything is weighed and everything. I've went to the medical examiner's office. I've picked up and done that type of work too. The organs are placed inside a bag and put at the bottom of the casket. So when you do see the body, like Brother Stan said, they are void of all organs. They're out of the body. But they're supposed to be, and I'm going to say that, they're supposed to be in a bag at the foot of the casket, which, of course, in any casket, you never see the bottom of the casket. Oh, by ain't losing nobody. They're at the foot of the casket. When they have an autopsy, yes, all organs removed. Now, if a body is damaged so badly, there isn't, they cannot, what they say, remove all organs. There's so much damage, they do another process where they basically sprinkle the cadaver, the human body, with a substance to block the smell. They do as best they can to try to drain it of all liquids, but we're talking about them organs. I'm talking about that tissue. We don't know if they've taken anything. And I'm not blaming, this ain't got nothing to do with the police. We're dealing with science. And by all means necessary, I'm just giving things, put things out on the table as the probabilities for why this could be happening. Because that woman carries, again, the majority of all substance. Remember, man's semen is only the fertilizer. So the woman is the key of not only all life, extending life, preserving life, and repairing life. And where would they find that? Inside a woman. They've had abductions. And as above, so below. I'm just going to leave it like that. As above, so below. Be it tissue, organs, cells. Remember, people do have medical records. They have your blood type. There are people who are needing organs. And as Brother Stan said, as they call it, the black market. You don't know what people will do to get whatever they need from you if they're dying. Because there are people on that transplant list who can't get an organ. So I'm throwing those out all as a possibility. Because remember, what before was impossible or thought to be impossible became possible or probable, and now the possibilities became a reality. Think outside the little box of what you think they would do. And because that woman, and of course she was what we know as a pygmy, and this is in Ethiopia, look her up, her name was Lucy. They even created a movie years ago called Lucy, and it showed the power of this woman, and it was the fact that she was able to use the total capacity of her brain power. The story was called Lucy. And as the detectives say, a lot of these movies aren't far-fetched, but you got to get into the science of things. Science, the supreme science that's going on, because your technology today, that iPhone you got, that is science, y'all. These advanced surgeries they do and these MRIs, that is science, y'all. So you can sit up there and daydream all you want. We got to come to the reality that things are happening on this planet today that then was thought of as impossible, even down to the TV. Some of y'all ain't old enough to know that. I mean, we know what TVs used to be, and I ain't talking about just regular television, with the big tubes, and you used to hear the frying. It almost sounded like an egg was frying when you turned the TV off. And through the advancements, now you got flat-screen TVs, plasma. You got watches now that you can watch TV and talk into. There was a cartoon many years ago. Yes, I'm giving my age up, and I'm proud to be that. It was called The Jetsons. They had flying cars. Are we not on the brink of that right now? They're talking about cars driving without people in it. Dick Tracy, thank you. So stop thinking in that little head of yours and think outside the box. And as the brother said, harvesting organs, conspiracy. No, they don't want us to even to think of it. They don't want us to talk about it. But they want to sell it to us. Y'all
yep.
follow that? They want to sell it to us. What are they trying to sell you? Their narrative. Think more. We are attracted to the distractions, and we are focused on the folly and the foolishness instead of looking at the real probability. Don't think we're the only intelligent life form on this planet. As above, so below. And there has been abductions, whether they're here on Earth or they say as above. And I give you one recently, but people don't even talk about. And you can talk to anybody in aviation. Whatever happened to that plane that just disappeared out of radar? Now I'm throwing it out there, yeah, if you want to call it conspiracy theory, whatever. A plane with 240-something people, what happened to it? Where's the people? Where did they go? Think about that.
You know, Tom, I got to read a story real quick because it's real important to tell this little girl's story, especially on a show like this, to kind of, and, you know, I can understand what Rob was saying earlier, and it's kind of going to put things in contrast to what officers see and what pisses officers off. It's the disappearance of Relisha Rudd. Relisha Tanae Rudd was born October 29, 2005. She disappeared March 1st, 2014. She was an 8-year-old African-American girl who went missing in Washington, D.C. in February of 2014 and had not been found. Rudd was living in the D.C. General Shelter with her mother when she was befriended by a janitor named Khalil Tatum, who was a former felon. Rudd stopped attending school, but it was a month before her absence was reported to the police. Investigation revealed that the last sighting of her had been weeks prior when she was caught on camera with Tatum at an area hotel. Tatum's wife, Khalil Tatum, his wife, was found shot dead in a hotel in Prince George's County, Maryland, in mid-March. At the end of March, searchers found Tatum's body in a shed in Kenilworth Park, shot in an apparent suicide. The case of Relisha Rudd received little coverage outside of the Washington, D.C. area, leading to criticism that her case receives little attention due to her marginalization as a person of color and being from an impoverished family. In 2014, Rudd was living with her mother, Shamika Young, at the General Shelter. Khalil Tatum was a 51-year-old janitor at the shelter and had a felony record for burglary, larceny, breaking, and entering. Tatum was imprisoned in 1993 to 2003 and again in 2004 to 2011. He was hired as the shelter's janitor by a community partnership for the prevention of homelessness, a contractor which operated the General Shelter and other city homeless programs. Tatum was known for inappropriately fraternizing with shelter residents and for paying particular attention to young girls. Well, let's go back to what I say. Nobody want to say nothing. Tatum befriended Young, brought her daughter a tablet computer, and took her to see Disney on Ice. Eventually, Young allowed Tatum to take the daughter away overnight, allegedly to stay with him and his grandmother. Now, we're talking about the mama that allowed this. Rudd suddenly stopped attending school. The little girl stopped attending school in February, but her mother provided a note saying that she was having health problems and was in the care of Dr. Tatum. The school contacted Tatum at the number provided, but when he failed to show up for a meeting with the counselor, the school finally contacted the police to report the little girl missing. The Metropolitan Police Department, the same people who supposedly don't care, you know, the officers, they're probably part of it. The Metropolitan Police Department of the District of Columbia launched a missing persons probe on March 19th, by which point Rudd had not been in school for a month. March 19th, that was the first time anybody contacted the police. 19 days later. 19. And then it had to be the school. So that's why I say When I talk about the communities that don't care about these kids and aren't putting out an effort to look for these kids, when I talk about responsibility in the neighborhood, it's not just the police to do the job. That's a perfect example.
Exactly.
Going back to what I said, the media obviously doesn't have a whole lot of interest in missing black people. I'm sorry for folks whose media feelings get hurt. It's the fact. You don't believe me? Search your own archive, media. But I'm not going to give neighborhoods a pass. And I'm not going to throw officers on the bus under this topic because they can only do and move with what information is given to us. All of us listening today, make it a point to just go research 5 missing people, women, in your city. Just 5. And get to know their names. Whether they're women, whether they're children, just 5. And start asking these officials why. If the police don't know, come out and say, we don't know. We need help. If the FBI doesn't know, come out and say, you don't know. But being silent on it and not asking for help, and then being in a community that's not willing to step forward and surrender help, you know, this is why some of these people are missing. This is why these communities where this is happening are targeted by whoever is responsible for it, because they know the community's not going to say anything. The leaders in the community aren't going to say anything. The police are overrun with runaways and missing people and calls for service and dealing with all the politics and BS that comes from upstairs. Those men and women out on the street, they're worn down. The detectives are getting 5, 10, 15 cases dumped on their desk every day. The system is overwhelmed. The answer's got to start in the community. Each one of us on here right now, whether you're black or white, you know you can go places in your community that those police officers cannot go. You can ask questions that those police officers cannot ask. So we can't be conveniently pissed off when there are no answers. We have a shared responsibility in finding some of these people. I mean, let me see. Let me go back. I mean, this is 362,988 missing white people, 207,394 missing black people. Over 500,000 people are missing in America, and nobody knows nothing.
And the number just jumped.
And the sad thing is, nobody wants to ask. That's what pisses me off. We don't get outraged when somebody gets pulled over and treated wrong, and I leave the bandwagon, and I agree. But what about these missing people? What about them? It's not enough to just say on Sunday, well, I prayed for them. Really? We got to get involved. Everybody. Find out first, before we say the police aren't doing anything, let's find out what the patrol officers are doing. And I can tell you from experience, if you know an officer and you sit down and talk to them, and you say, how many missing people do we have in our city? They'll give you one number. Then when you say, how many runaways do we have? They'll give you a number that'll blow your mind. Because we tend to put runaways in the basket with missing people. They are two different things. So we're getting down to it. We go, yeah, come on, brother.
You know, it's interesting because from my experience, and I've handled, I don't know if you guys remember, we had a mass murder out at Palatine at the Brown's Chicken. I was on that scene. I've handled baby death investigation. But I will tell you something. I've never seen as many grown men cry as I have when they've had to post a child. Because two things. Not only does the maternal and paternal instincts kick in, but you also start saying, what could this child have been? And therein lies the rub. If we believe that black lives matter, then this is where it has to start. Because kids, 36% of the people missing, of the youngsters missing, are black and under the age 18. Come on now. Come on. We got to do better than this, people. We got to do better than this.
you know, brother, and it's important to say with that, and I know we all see the videos and some, it's some cops out there that's crazy. I'm not taking, Rob wasn't off base on that. But also, you know, when officers, when you leave those scenes, people, you're watching this bullshit on TV, it ain't real. It does not work that way. You don't go to a fatality death with an infant and then go, Sarge, I need a couple of days off, and just go home. It doesn't work that way.
Absolutely
you finish
not.
That investigation and you go to the next call. You don't go home. You may go from an 8-month-old that was just sodomized to somebody's mailbox being run over. And the next person's going to say, well, the officer acted like he didn't care. Well, I mean, your mind is still back there with that 8-month-old. We're humans, and we don't do a good job at portraying that, and I wish more officers did show the human side. People would understand us more. But I think also stop looking at that stuff you see on TV and thinking that's real life. I watch LA, or what is it, Cop Live or Live Cop or whatever. You know what? I'm going to tell y'all something. There ain't no lieutenants out there pulling over cars and working domestic disturbances. I saw that last night. That's bullshit. That's playing to the camera. Okay? They want to bring you inside the car and let you think you know what you're doing. But guess what? What you're seeing is edited because you're not hearing anybody's personal information. Why? Because they can't give it out. What does that make it? It makes it edited. So what else is edited? The 5 cars don't show up because you stopped a kid on a bike and a helicopter. That stuff is not is staged, and that is, to me, people get a false sense, and they expect that kind of service in their communities, and it's not realistic. I applaud the effort they're trying to make, but it's detrimental. Get out and learn your police department yourself. Go down, in fact, if you don't know the name, you should know the captain or sergeant over your juvenile division. Just give a call Monday and just call down and say, how many juveniles do we have missing, not runaways? And just tell them, I don't want the runaways. I want to know a number of missing juveniles in our city. And get ready. How many women are missing in our city? And get ready for that number. And make sure you tell them, not runaways. Don't give me the runaway numbers. Give me the missing. And some of y'all are going to be surprised. You thought you lived in a utopia. It's not that way. But we're going to get ready to go down the list. Big Rob, come on, brother. We're going to start out with you. I love you, man. I wasn't beating up on you today, but I had to stand up on that. But come on, brother. You got 2 minutes. Anything you want.
Not at all. No, I appreciate it, Stan. And again, thank you for, you know, having this platform. I just would close out with saying, you know, like, we need to be talking about this a lot more. And, you know, let me also say that, well, I agree with you that we as a community have not done enough, and we deserve to see and to get the information from people, whatever the sources may be. I mean, obviously, credible sources, but I wouldn't be so quick to just take on, you know, the statistics or the information, the data that we get from police, because as we're finding out by the DOJ, that all the numbers aren't adding up all the time. And so, like I said, I will just close out with saying that we need to do more as a community, and we need to come together more in whatever way that looks. If you feel like, well, I want to start a committee, you know what I mean? I want to get some people that actually understand the law that can hold the cops accountable. Or if you say, well, I want to raise money to create, you know, a new organization that we can do the same thing with, basically. We just got to think outside the box, like has already been said, you know. And other than that, like I said, great show, Stan, and thank you to everybody on the panel.
Appreciate you, brother. Hey, you have a good weekend. Be safe. Drop down 817 area code 4867. Late caller coming in. Come on in. Talk to us.
Hey, guys. Good morning. This is Bridget. How are y'all doing? I know
what's going on.
Hey, darling. I'm catching the tail end. I'm just listening in. And, you know, hey, I'm out. Stan, I'm going to say this. You know, you're doing a wonderful job. And keep us informed on what's going on the side that we really can't see. You got a much bigger scope of what's going on, the statistics and these women and these children that are missing, these children and women that are coming up dead, and these children that, ooh, I'm sick about the last one. So I'm you know, the one here recently that just yesterday or day before yesterday with the little 18-month-old. So my heart is really still hurting because I have a grandson, and I don't want nobody keeping him. I'm very overprotective of him. and he lives with me. So when people come and get him or his mom and dad take him to somebody, I want to meet these people too. So the only people that keep him are the people I know. So, hey, I understand. So keep us informed, and thank you so much. Thank you.
I appreciate
that's
you.
That's all I have to say.
Yeah, we're all going to learn together. Me, you, everybody, we're all in here together, learning, chewing each other out. We're like a bunch of brothers and sisters fighting. But you know what? We all in the same house. You know, we're different colors and we're different financial status and Republicans and Democrats and Christians and atheists and Muslims. But we're all in here together, and we're going to keep doing it that way. And even the haters, y'all keep trolling. I like it because you make my numbers go up. And, you know, love them haters.
Exactly.
You know, so we're going to drop down and grab one more caller, 314 area code 4644. Good morning.
Yeah, you must have recognized my telephone number to give me those kudos.
I
sent you a Stoke News article where in the St. Louis area, 200 young people was missing. But in a town right next to Ferguson, which is Berkeley, 99% black, you have over 35 kids that have been missing. And it's probably more than that because this article is maybe a couple of years old. So I can't tell you what the heck's going on in these situations, Stan. I know that there's calls to have parents to be extra precautious with their children, to put tracking devices, tracking apps on their phone to instruct them on what to do when they're being followed and so on and so on. I remember one case where a girl was missing in a neighborhood not too far from Matthew Dickey Boys and Girls Club. Hey, that girl was missing for at least a couple of days. It caused a group of men to come together and start going from abandoned house to abandoned house, and they went to one, and there she was. So, all kind of things going on, and what's causing them is kind of hard to lay your finger on.
Yes, sir, it is. But you know what? At least we're having a discussion here, and none of us know. I mean, you know, but we're all willing to talk about it and bring it up and stay on it. And that's the thing. You know, you got to wake up before you can walk. And some of our cities, a lot of us are in more danger. See, you did the research there where you're at, and you know. But there's people right next door to you that don't know until it's one of their relatives or their friends. So a lot of us don't even realize that we're operating in a sphere where you could just be gone. And I ain't talking about the rapture. You know, there's more people missing in this country than the Bible says are going up in the rapture. You know, but
left, man. But you know, another thing that's going on the southern border is that you got kids that's being kidnapped and given to adults that's trying to come into the border. That's why you had this problem. And when they get in, they let the kid go. So that's why they have this abundance of young people. There's no adult to go with them. Or what they're doing is checking DNA when adults show up at the border. Well, if that child DNA don't match yours, then there's a problem going on. And there's articles on that, too. Anyway, thanks for the opportunity.
All right, brother. Appreciate you calling in. Big Detective. Detective JoJo in the house. Come on, brother. Give us about 2 or 3 minutes. Surmise this.
Well, it's more dangerous than most people give it credit. There is a larger looming issue at hand, particularly for me, having worked and seen it. I've worked juvenile murders, I've worked homicides, and I've seen almost everything. But again, having the knowledge that I do, I have to declare that we are in a state of emergency on a lot of levels. And again, we're slow to awaken to the fact that there is a plan. Now, I can't sit and tell you that all whoever is involved, but there is a master plan. And again, if you look at those articles I talked about earlier, from the Kissinger document to the number of people missing, And you have to wonder at some point why. The other thing is this, as the other brother said, let me just take this to another level real quick. Recently, there was three black preachers. One just took life for trafficking. Where is the outrage on this guy? What else does this guy know? In order to get into trafficking, there are some other things that go with that. The Mann Act, that interstate trafficking of humans, white slavery. I mean, it's all happening. This is 2019, and we're still talking about issues that we fought during the Civil War. And again, it goes back to a very base point. Those who forget history are doomed to repeat it. If we don't wake up, they're going to put us back in the bondage through our own devices. And I'll leave it at that.
All right, brother. As always, appreciate you being in the house, man. And, you know, definitely dropping them bombs. We appreciate it because we learn a lot from each other on here. And we share our thoughts and our feelings, because that's where I think the solution for a lot of these problems that we talk about, that's where the solution is going to be found. It's not going to be found in Harvard or in some courtroom or legislator from Washington, D.C. It's going to be found where normal people are having a conversation, and I mix my, hey, I know this with your, I saw this with somebody else's, I heard this. Now we can walk in and go, this is what happened. So, you know, we got to keep getting involved in what's going on. And 64,000 to 70,000, 75,000 missing black women is crazy. And the numbers of missing white and black people in this country were roughly 500,000. Seriously? Start asking your politicians why. And if they say they don't know, say again, why? Let's watch these debates, Democrats. Let's see which one of these candidates is going to speak up on this issue, because none of them have yet. Hello, Cory Booker, Kamala Harris. And I'm not making it a political show. I'm just saying, you know, come on, Big Ty, get us out of here, man.
Again, I'm going to say it. Again, to throw it out there for people just to ponder and think on. I think it's pretty obvious that, and I've heard it said by a couple other people in today's show, that we're not paying attention to the right things. And one of the things is we're not protecting our women. We're not protecting our children. And they've got to switch. They got switched their gears thinking that all black men, unarmed black men are getting shot down the street and there's a shortage of black men, when the reality of it is that we know where most of them are at. And I shouldn't say most of them. That's just a little joke. but we know now, but we don't know where all these women are at. And again, the woman is the genetic pathway, the gateway, the bloodline to life on earth. And when you have a certain group of people who are struggling to reproduce, they got these clinics all over the states and in different countries as well. I got to throw that out there, because we have to get outside of this in the box thinking. And we got to start looking at things that file, that dispute, that will contradict things they're kind of throwing at us, and say to yourself, you know, well, why? You know, well, why not? You know, and people may not think people can be that demonic or that sinister, that evil. But when you talk about preserving life, people will go to whatever it takes to get. We had one gentleman, we had one guy, one of the Rockefellers, I think he had, and check the numbers, you know, is I think 6 heart transplants. Where do you get 6 hearts from? But he had that money. You know what I mean? And then when you look at the base again of the original, and when I'm talking about the most important, probably the most important fossil, talking about that Lucy, her name, as they say it in the, because you know they put it always in there in Greek or Latin or some other language that's foreign to us, so we don't want to look it up. It means you are marvelous. That's what it actually means in Amharic, in the dialect of where they found her in Ethiopia, which was ancient Kush. And I ain't talking about the stuff people walk around calling themselves smoking. I'm talking about the biblical land called Kush. That woman, you are marvelous. Remember, she cast eggs. And make note to this. This is a scientific fact. When a child is born, all the eggs she'll ever produce as a grown woman are already in her. I don't know if y'all knew that or not. Look it up. You know me.
I don't
all
know that.
Yep. So there you go. So, yes, our babies are at risk. Our little girls are at risk. Our children, our women are at risk. And we have to do a better job in seeing things for what it is and not, like the detective said, we're in a state of emergency. We're at war here. Our women are being taken out of here and missing and disappearing, and nobody seems to care, including us, because we won't even take the time to even do what we say, do the research. Stop getting your face stuck in a tell-lie vision, being controlled by a narrative they want you to, you trying to figure out what Kim Kardashian is doing, Beyonce it is. Meanwhile, we got our sisters, and these are families who are missing loved ones. We're so unconsciously unconscious. I know that sounds crazy, but we are so unconsciously unconscious, it's sad. And as long as we get stuck in the rut and stuck in the mud and have our head stuck in the sand, we're going to keep looking still in the mirror talking about, well, I don't understand. That's a little rhyme, y'all. We got to stop trying to understand and overstand what's going on in this planet, because we have a responsibility to our people. And when I say our people, humanity, we got to protect the mothers of all living, the future mothers, the little girls. They're the ones missing, y'all. That's a lot of folks, like you said, and it has no difference what color they are. Let's make that clear as I close out. It makes no difference what color you are, because anybody who has ever had an organ transplant, don't matter what color the person is that you receive your kidney, your heart, or wherever you receive whatever tissue, it has something to do with genetic science. Get back into the – start learning more about science and stop getting caught up in the fantasy and just think some spook god is going to come figure this all out and make it all right. And got us sitting around waiting for things to happen. We got to start making things happen. All right? Thank you, y'all.
All right. Appreciate it. All right, everybody. Appreciate the Facebook Live crew. I'm sorry. I'm not ignoring y'all. I don't have my other computer screen, so that iPad's a little far away. And, you know, y'all know I'm old now. You know, I'm looking at Travis' computer, but it's on a delay. I'm still looking at Lincoln's assassination up here on his. But anyway, I appreciate everybody that's on the Facebook Live crew. Detective Mosley, Todd, Big Rob, Robert Drake, Big Gun, 804, everybody. We're going to keep doing it. We're going to keep it.
Thank you for tuning in to Behind the Blue Curtain. You can follow Stan Mason and Behind the Blue Curtain at StanMason.com, on Twitter at Officer Stan Mason, on YouTube and on Facebook as Stan Mason. Be safe and look out for one another.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
It's Saturday morning. Time for unscripted, unapologetic straight talk on police reform and race relations. It's time to go behind the blue curtain with your host, retired 25-year police officer Stan Mason.